Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
You Cannot Say, a beautiful poem written by Jay Hatter and put to music and then sung by Shout Even Shy. This is Deborah Lee. You're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we all hang out at allpoetry.com. We have shows nearly every night, different times, different hosts, different topics, something for everyone. If you're a member over at allpoetry.com, you can find us on the group tab under Team of Voices. And if you knock, you can come hang with us. And we put the link to the poems that we feature tonight on the board, and you can follow along. You can comment. You can call and hang out. And you can do that at 1-646-668-2837. Again, 1-646-668-2837. And the link for the show is on the board in the chat wall. You can listen to it there or call and hang out with us. And tonight we are featuring words by the poetess Crystal Hope. I chose 10 different little bits of her poetry and put them up as options for tonight for your muse. And There's also some pictures from Butterfly Web Graphics that you could pick and try to combine them into your own little work of art, which you do every single week and blow me away. And on that note, I'm going to say hello to my big brother, Hatter, my co-host. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, co-hosting.
Yeah, every Monday. And right behind Hatter. Say that again.
I said it's a sad time of year. All football is gone. It's over with.
Well, you could always watch fast. Dwayne Johnson's new football league. That was like yesterday or the day before, I think. The new football league. So there's football all year. You didn't hear about it?
Is that XFL? Is that the XFL?
I'll look it up. But first, let's say hi to Steven. Hey, Steven, welcome to the show.
Hello. Football is over, but, you know, I've got the Indians to look forward to. Well, wait a minute. No, I don't. That's right.
No, you don't. Why not?
So, in answer to your question, it's the American Football League. Dwayne Johnson is the co-owner, and it comes on Saturdays. I think it was on after the time it would have been if there was college football playing all day, like in the evening. Anyway, you should check it out.
AFL.
AFL, yeah.
Okay.
Anyhow, back to poetry. So, Stephen, tell Kay we said hello and that I hope she feels better. And I am going to go over and I'm going to grab her poem so that you can read it for us and get this show on the road. As soon as I find, there's the topic board. Okay, so I'm grabbing the poem by Kay. And I'm motoring over to A Team of Voices and clicking the button right now. So, as soon as you see it, please read for your wife for us.
Okay. This is called Golden Pages of Wisteria Journeys by Kay. Altruism of pensiveness in drops of shallow waterings, a harbor of light, shadows and difference. Rosebuds flowering in pages of pitberries, redness of sepia pages, wilting, overwhelming stories. Shine of spoilt breezes, not salt of the earth, sprucing lily scarlets and blooms of waxing paper contoured structuring, ashing amethyst, a thistle through woodlands in 11s of slate, cobalt chrysanthemums blossom in deep as crystals melt where green grasses sleep. End poem. And those last lines about the cobalt chrysanthemums was the quote from Crystal.
Awesome. Great read. Thank you. And I like the visuals in this one. But I think this is my first poem with pensiveness in it, in drops of shallow waterings, a harbor of light, shadows, indifference. Love that. And where was the... Lily scarlet in bloom of waxing paper contour, structuring, ashing amethyst. The thought of ashing amethyst is actually kind of a brutal thought, because you would think that it was a hard thing to ash, to burn. But, and you know what? I think my favorite line is a thistle through woodlands in the Levens of slate. It's just great visuals there, and I could even, I think, smell the chrysanthemums from the quote that she chose at the end. But there's always so many cool metaphors or visuals, like the rosebuds flowering in pages of pipberries. I don't think I've ever heard of those. I'll have to look them up. But I like that. The fact that you can sit there and listen to her, or tonight you read, and it just takes you on a visual journey all over the place. And I thought that this was like when she was done, when you were done reading for her, I was sort of like taking a deep breath, like a refreshing breath, you know what I mean? A little enchanted brevity to go with the very cute picture that she chose. Thank you very much, Kay. Again, I say feel better. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I've always loved with Kay pieces of the words, the lines together, you know, like wilting, overwhelming stories. Also, anytime I hear somebody use thistle, thistles, when I was on a farm, I mean, it's the first thing you want to go down and cut. You don't want cattle to walk on it or it to spread to the pasture, but they have the most beautiful flowers, the deep purple and blues with a golden yellow. It's when you see it running wild, it is very pretty. Yeah, Kay does a wonderful job for us.
I'm trying to picture, like, the things that you're talking about. They look like little briar balls.
I'll get a picture and send one of the type of thistle I'm talking about. I'll see if I can find
one. Okay, because
thistle is a yard weed that has, like, prickers in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they're a little shade of purple, a pinkish purple color. It's funny because I wonder if it depends on a person's mood, because normally when I hear the word thistle, my mind goes to that little purple flower there, and obviously yours goes to the dark forest with the, I don't even know what I thought they were called. Burrs or something like that.
I know. I remember burrs.
They hurt, man. If they get your hair, they like wrap around 99 hairs all at one time, or your clothes.
Yeah.
Don't go near them with a sweater. It's just like ugh.
Yeah. Well, I always like the way that Kay is able to intertwine nature and emotion the way she does. It's like one of her specialties, and I think she enjoys doing that. I definitely like the imagery in this as well. And when I hear the word thistle, I automatically go to the night before Christmas. That's just me, though. But yeah, and this is a little time in there too, even though it was probably unintentional, but pip berries and stories. And then, of course, Crystal's quote at the end also rhymes. So this would be a rhyming poem, whether she likes it or not. It's an excellent write.
I like the way you said that, whether she likes it or not. And yet, no, I agree with you. The visuals that she puts out combine, and you got your feelings are all over the place, and the visuals are all over the place, and I'm always amazed by the time it's done. And like this one is just the 8 lines, and it was just so vivid. Anyway, thanks again, Kay and Steven. Yeah, Hatter, that's kind of like the one, but I'll show you the one I meant in a minute.
Yeah.
But Steven, will you please show us what you got?
Yeah, I chose the quote, periwinkle starlight skies radiate off shutters. And I call this a crystal clear autumn evening. Orange gourd stems ignite the air like sparklers at the county fair. Harvest moon glows high above like pumpkin pie with glossy glare. And corn stalks reach for the sky to touch the crystal stars with care. End poem.
So pretty. Orange gourd stems ignite the air like sparklers at the country fair. I love that image, Stephen. Sparklers are a big thing in the summertime. You know, you get them and you stand there, especially, of course, around the 4th of July or where any time there would be fireworks. But they were also cool because you could spin them around and sort of write words and with the cherry on top. So I got really cool visuals from that, and I'm seeing them now in those flower freaky things that are here under that orange moon. So, like, I think just the first line itself is really, really cool. And wait, how dare you? Oh my word. Stephen, 3:10, come on. Wow.
Well, now, where's Wayne at? He's the one that said I should do it.
Oh, man. I can't. Wow. I'm not even. Your poem is beautiful. Congrats on a 3:10. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I love the disclaimer next to it. Right?
Yeah.
Obviously so, though. Look, it's right in front of us. And beautifully visual. So, like, bravo, sir. Very, very cool. Wow. Hatter, what do you think?
I can't believe there's a category, 3:10s. But, man.
There wasn't until this.
I know. You know, I love that picture. Perfect image for the sparklers.
That's exactly what I saw when I first looked at the picture, and that line kind of popped into my head right away, so I had to snag the picture.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't mention the blood-red moon. But
yeah,
I
call it the harvest.
The harvest moon.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you what, to help on the farm, a harvest moon sucks. They're out there at night baling hay or something, mowing or something. It is bright.
It is. Well, I like that you went with the harvest moon because even though this one's a bit more orange than it really is, it's the first thing I think of when I see that tone of the moon. Here comes the harvest moon, you know. But really, I'm still, aside from the fact that my chin hurts now from that smack when I realized it was a 3:10, but I'm still really blown away by the sparklers that you pulled from there because I don't know what I would have did with the art. So fabulous job. And
beautiful.
I put my poem on the board, but before you go, do you want to tell us what's happening at A Poetic Slice next?
What's at A Poetic Slice next? It's Sci Friday, but it's going to be on Wednesday, as it will always be on Wednesday from now on, but we're still going to call it Sci Friday. And it's our next in line of the Star Trek captains, and it's going to be Captain Benjamin Sisko from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Got quotes from his character to write to. Check him out. That's going to be actually at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. We got things to do, so we want to get to bed earlier.
I think I'm ahead of the game because I'm pretty sure I wrote for that show already. Woo-hoo! I love when that happens. Awesome. And, okay. So mine is on the board. And you guys know me. I can't ever pick just one. So I went with number 1, 4, 5, 6, and 8. Anyway, they are in quotes in the poem. So, yeah. It's called Rain Plays a Tune on the Crystal Wind Chimes. And here we go. I sit outside on the terrace deck chair, writing poetry and sipping my coffee, with the crystal wind chimes chiming for me, as morning dew glistens like honeysuckle steaming like a teapot of chamomile tea. Backyard birds tweet and the insects chirp, then the wind whistles like hymnal notes singing morning choral music as breezes wave the golden husks in the field of oats. On the thick green knoll by the picket fence, patches of dotted and speckled mushrooms creep, and the cobalt chrysanthemums blossom in the deep and crystals melt where the green grasses sleep. Knotted to hold the firefly lantern, ivy vines climb the beanstalk towers. Butterflies flit by the peapod hammock, fluttering over the white clover flowers. A stream unravels over murky rocks, splashing aqua rapids like a rain shower. dust is fat ebony cloud to brush up gray sky, foggy from the crisp autumn breeze. Raindrops pelt the purple flower petals. The droplets tap the leaves on the magnolia trees. In the hammock-shaped birdbath, cool rainwater puddles from the downpour. But once the rainstorm passes the yard, yellow finches bathe and then wings soar, looping and twirling in an air show, tickling my muse as they explore. End poem. Tickly? Oh, boy. I gotta fix that while I'm...
Tickly? Tickly.
No, tickly my muse. Anyway. Let me...
Tickly. That's... Is Steven still with us, Steven?
Yeah, I figured I'd stick around for one before I head out. So, yeah, I thought that this was very cool, Deb. I really like the imagery in this. I think that it's a very relaxing piece. It took me back to my childhood because my parents used to have a hammock that I would lay in all the time and read my Batman comics. But I think that what really hit me is that second stanza, because it actually put a song in my head, especially when you talked about the husks in the fields of oats, and it had the fields of gold from Sting suddenly popped into my head, and I pretty much could hear it the rest of the read. So yeah, I think it's a great piece.
Thank you so much, Steven. I appreciate it. And again, say hi to Kay for us and tell her we hope she feels better. And I
will do. Thank you.
We'll see you at the next poetic.
All right.
And I'm trying to do three things at the same time. I'm going to
point out one line, if I could. As crystals melt, will green grasses sleep? That can be a prompt right there. Crystals melt, will green grasses sleep? Like the dew in the morning, right? Maybe. No?
The dew, I think that's my crystal lines. But hold on a second.
Yes.
Let me let in AP. Hello, AP. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good. Good
to be here. How are you doing?
And also, Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I just woke up.
You're
I kind
here.
Of fell asleep.
All right, I'm going to just keep this moving on. Oh, Hatter, were you done? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what were you saying?
No, that's good.
I'm going to mosey on over here, and I'm going to find a peace poem and put that on the board. And here it is. And it will be there in just a second. As soon as I find voices, there it is. Thank you, Angel. I see you out there. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And AP, as soon as you see your poem, take us away.
I was just going to say a few words about yours, Deb. I like the fact that when Deb writes and that when she's on her form, she can write four-line stanzas, five-line stanzas, and six-line stanzas, and you don't actually notice the difference as she's reading them. And some of them rhyme and some of them don't, and it doesn't sort of matter because it sort of rolls along with this sort of lovely cadence within each stanza. So it's quite a talent. Most people, myself included, stick with the same number of lines per stanza because it's easier to keep the rhythm, but Deb manages to do it with four-line, five-line, and six-line stanzas, which is a real talent. So that's all I was going to say, and now I'll do mine.
Wow, thank you.
Which only has four-line stanzas, which is pretty much what I do. This is Periwinkle Glitters to the Crystal Quote. Periwinkle starlight skies radiated off the shutters, and it goes a little bit like this. Draped on shadows of trees, strings of Christmas lights festoon. Toadstools humming as wees, fluorescent yellow lines bloom. Beyond a black stump carry, through stars and clouds and mists, toadstools with stripes to parry, passed onwards wonder towards lakes of tangerine where pink ripples to mystic runes. Glowing lights are readily seen while the purple gathers in dunes. A pond can see crystals hence, pearl shaded to incandescent blue. Here shadows pooling dense, periwinkle glitters on noon's dew. In pond.
Very beautiful. Draped on shadows of trees. I love the opening line there. Toward lakes of tangerine where pink ripples to mystic runes, glowing lights are readily seen while the purple gathers in dunes. It's got perfect cadence all the way through there. And I like that we're working our way back to those shadows that we started out with there at the end. Here, shadows pooling dense. And then periwinkle glitters on moon's dew. I just think it came out gorgeous. And it's a crazy picture. So who would have thought that you could take that and then turn it into a very beautiful and visual brevity. And I think I mentioned that for some reason I really like the fact that festoon is in there. Fun word. Awesome share. And I'm just going to send Crystal a list of the links before I delete because I think she might have had it work, but I'm sure she'll love it. Let me get you some comments. Hatter, what you think of this gem?
I love that picture. The Cheshire. Yeah, much of the Cheshire Cat. The glow.
Yeah.
Glow of the gold. Yeah, it was written well to it. I guess it's just a fantasy picture, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's sort of a wild, sort of out there, really super colorful picture, and some really interesting things in the background with the toadstools lit up and that lake and. Yeah, just a really interesting sort of image, Hatter, and I just sort of went with the colors, really.
Yeah, so beautifully done. Yeah, it looks like mushroom shooting stars or something. That's great.
Yeah, it's just really interesting. Really, really great. Really great image. Love the image.
It's a good color contrast. The orange, pink, purple to the dark purple and gold. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome comment. Yeah. And Wayne, what did you think?
I thought this was a fun poem. You covered the picture well. It had a lot of strange things in there, but like the lines, like Lake of Tangerine, going lights are really seen. You did great with the rhymes and great with the picture, and I don't think I could even hardly start with this picture. It's kind of a complex picture to write to start with. Great job. Love the rhyme, and I like it a whole lot. Pick away, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Cheers.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. And Stephen had to go, so I am going. How long are you staying, AP?
I wasn't going to stay too long, Deb, if that's okay, unless there's something I should be staying for.
No, I just wanted to say goodnight if you were leaving, that's all.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm back on the wagon again, but thank you. Great picture. All the best to Crystal too. And I just want to hug. And we'll catch you very soon.
All righty. Love and respect.
Okie doke. Thank you again. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, now let's see here. Hatter, I'm grabbing your poem.
Okay.
So that you can read from Miss Crystal Hope. And there it is. So if you do not see it, refresh and then show us what you got.
Okay, it's called To Be With Her Own Kind. Like this. She walks alone. Oh, let me get it right. She walks alone through the stand of trees, whispering words of her poetry. With songs and breezes, she knows what pleases. She writes the words to sing. The landslide, she did a flyby, untying knots at a string. How could she know there's a one place to go to be with her own kind, travel in couplets to be to where she loves it in hopes of finding the signs? In paper dreams, she's warmed by the steam from the words she reads on the phone. Memories of those that write in prose, she'll never again be alone. Poetry.
You know, I really love the ending there, especially the last line, but the whole couplet, memories of those that write in prose, she'll never again be alone. I think it struck me there how often you mention being alone, and like you end this one in a reassuring way that she'll never be alone, and I'm liking that it ends with the positive note that she won't be. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying, right? But from the first line, she walks alone through the standing trees, whispering words of her poetry. It's just, of course, your perfect flow all the time. Untying knots in the string. How could she know there's just one place to go to be with her own kind? It's just an enchanting little tale for the... Is she a fairy? Because I don't see... Yeah, there's her wings. Okay, because she's got elf ears. Anyway, that doesn't matter. The poem is adorable. But thanks. Like I said, I especially love that closing couplet. Great job, Hatter. And
yes,
Wayne, what did you...
I said, this is a wonderful, but a bit sad poem. I like the line where he said, how could she know there's still just one place to go to be with her own kind? It has a great rhyme in it. It's as usual, and a nice ending to it to change it from a sad adventure to a good ending. Good job with that, man. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah, reoccurring being alone in my work, I guess, is because I know that feeling, you know.
I've been there, too.
No, it's just sometimes I think you can gauge what's going on by which way you go. Sometimes the concept of being alone ends in a dark or sad way. But like I said, this one ends with, it's not a question. It's flat out, she'll never again be alone. And that's an uplifting, reassuring thing. So I like that aspect of it for sure. And let my little sis in here. Crystal Hope.
I didn't mean
welcome
to be late.
Show.
I lost track of time.
Hey, Crystal.
Well, I just figured you were working, so I'm glad you were able to come hang out. You missed a couple, but I did send you the whole list so that you can check them out. I don't think you were you here long enough to hear Hatters?
No, but I just read it. Like I said, the last probably 5-10 minutes, I've been trying to go over the ones that have already been read, trying to read them. But yeah, I did just read Hatters, and I did give him a comment. So I liked the traveling and couplets. Like so far, AP and Hatters, just two lines I want to steal and I want to use them. but yeah, I like the travel and couplets. Yeah, I like the traveling couplets, and I like the stop landslide. She does a flyby. I like how that sounded too. I really liked this.
I would be most humbled if you used my line. Go ahead.
And Wayne, what did you think of Hatter's poem?
Well, I just commented a second ago. For your comment once.
Okay. You don't want to comment again, do you? I'm kidding. Okay, I am going to grab your link. So let me go.
Let me go
get that.
This is a good old, this is a good old family poem right here. Y'all think you like my little family poem?
Uh-oh. I'm scared now. Somehow I don't believe it's a little family poem. I guess we're about to find out as soon as I push that button.
Yeah.
So tell me when you see the link, for Mr. Gent?
It's there.
Cool. And I am going to push play. Here we go.
This is called They Stabbed Together. Round eyes wander to the roads less traveled, tormented from strain, her nerves unraveled, desire and devotion to kill both her and her child. Such a lovely pair, with never an emotion mild. Mama taught her well, enjoying every kill. Daughter, love mama's killing, always will. Same dress, blood stain on same knife. Both kills, part of the mentally disturbed life. Daughter tried, but didn't know any better. Didn't mean to get blood stain on sweater. Mama remembered how the same she did. How could she get mad at her crazy killer kid? Then they moved to the road less traveled. Found peace when evil emotions leveled. But the killing desire sat and started to giggle. Mom and child loved watching victim wiggle. As mama grew old, got smaller blade. Daughter, having grown older, didn't degrade. Both knew then what would be in store. Would just have to stab their victim more.
That is sweet.
Wayne, I can't even take it. Every time you would read one of the parts like the devotion to kill both her and her child, I'm thinking, yeah, this is family fun. I was cracking up in the background. Oh my goodness. Daughter tried but didn't know any better. Didn't mean to get blood stain on her sweater. Mama remembered how the same she did. How could she get mad at her crazy killer kid? Yeah, okay. And okay. They started to giggle. Mama and child loved watching their victims giggle. I was cracking up. Wayne, you are such a treat. And you have this mild-mannered piano music going in the background during this massacre here. Oh, my goodness. I bet you had fun trying to keep a straight face while you were recording
it. Oh,
yeah.
This
is awesome. Really awesome.
Thank you.
Family fun at its finest. Like that alliteration. Crystal Hope, what did you think, doll?
Yeah, I was in that same place because I was over here like, wow, this is like greatly dark and like it got some good rhyme, good story, whole life thing. Like that's part of where my mind went. And then part of my mind went, what in the world am I reading? And then the other part of my mind went, why is there sad piano music in the background? Like I was just on a roller coaster of so many emotions because I was just over here like, because, like, the music, like, almost makes some of, like, what the parts, like, even Deb was quoting and a few other ones, they're just, like, this, like, kid and mom and stuff like that, and, like, oh, they're killers, and I'm, like, you just, on this, it definitely has, like, that very much, like, I give, like, a darker kind of humor, especially with the SoundCloud, because people are probably going to find out SoundCloud and be, like, what did I, like, what was it? Because some people may just read it, but then they get the music in there and it's like, what is this? But no, I think you did a great job. I liked a little bit of, like, darkish humor. And like I said, adding that music made it 10 times better. Great job.
Thank you. little darkish.
In my head, I keep hearing a family that kills together, thrills together. It's like fun and crazy. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a pride of lions, and the cubs watching mama kill and have to. That's why they love it so well. But then we go down the road less traveled. They go, okay, we'll mellow out then. Okay, yeah, they'll find peace. But no, the killing desire. Watching the victim wiggle, and the smaller blade, just don't worry about it. She just has to
stab him more.
Use it a few more times. Wonderfully disturbed.
It is disturbed. Picture's kind of disturbing. Oh, I thought the picture, that's kind of disturbing, so I kind of went on the picture.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It was really fun, yeah. and the giggles were really appreciated. Cool stuff.
Thank you.
I put Titus on the board, if you guys want to click on that, and I will push record, and then I'll read for Angel after this poem. Okay, you see Titus?
Got it.
Here we go.
Got it, too.
12/2/2023. The day I was devoid of. I cannot say it was a day I do remember well. It would drag me down to this wretched hell called COVID. Those deep breaths I could tell raced my head, seeing my wife's mouth dispel, lifting what was to remain, lacking willpower, tending my eyes towards her, but not the hour. Time between the lavatory and the shower, separating us from what made her tongue sour. Rails would summon me to hold, were not there, nothing figured for my agonizing despair. A child for whom longing can wait for his share, fasting would always rest on the hope and a prayer. 101, I do remember scavenging importance. For a panic-stricken woman, no acceptance, but for the hand of a husband took a stance. A 999 call to ask for an ambulance. Candy bars are free, I thought willingly, a sequent shoulder lift to aid myself striding, less frequent involuntary measures. Dropping on the bed meant emergency, an insurgency to each and every event. Could not remember the truth, it was in abstract, illuminating my spouse's words, and yet distract she did. The serious mitosis it would imbue, in fact misgiving, a threat to elucidate my own, to be exact. Excluded from resuscitation, it would endure separating ourselves from that which existed, an allure. Thought otherwise prone to the distance be to inure all substance on matters relating to confine her.
Wow. You know, when he first started out, that hushed, whisperish voice, it was like, I got the chills. He read this and wrote this in like a terror-ish type of thing. And hey, I don't blame him because it took me what felt like forever to get over it when I had it. But I like, wow, I cannot say it was a day. I do remember well. It would drag me down to this wretched hell called COVID. Those deep breaths I could tell, raised my head, seeing my wife's mouth dispel. And so obviously they had it together, and it's, you know, you want to take, each one to take care of the other, but you just feel so horrible. I mean, I know some people just say, oh, it's just like the flu, but to some of us it's not. And like, I'm really glad that you're getting better, Titus, but look at this poem. That who would have thought that something like this could come from being so sick from COVID? I'm tending my eyes towards her, but not the hour, a time between the lavatory and the shower, separating us from what made her tongue sour. It's just like, it's a miserable experience, and I can't get over it. Candy bars are free, I thought willingly, as Quint shoulder licked to aid myself striding less frequent. It's just the eloquent wording that you used to talk about such a not fun at all experience, and then to lead down to the end there, excluded from resuscitation, it would endure separating ourselves from that which existed, and allure thought otherwise, prone to the distance to be endure all substance, no matters relating to confine. And I mean, if you had to have COVID, look what it inspired. I guess that sounded really bad, but I am blown away. I'm pretty sure that this is the most eloquently put description of suffering through COVID that I could imagine. And to take the round eyes wander to the roads less traveled. And, man, let's hope it stays less traveled. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm not mistaken. I know you said you got all the shots and everything, and I feel so bad that you guys were suffering through it. But, again, I'm glad you're feeling better at least finally. I hope your wife is too. Thanks for sending this in and recording it, even though you were feeling under the weather so much. Appreciated. Crystal?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it is a subject a lot of people can relate to. People write their stories or things that they went through during a time. The one thing I can say, it is an awful time to gone through, but it's something I know many people have written about. And I can definitely relate to this too, because when I was working at that summer camp last summer, I ended up getting COVID, and I was alone in the cabin for a couple of weeks in quarantine by myself. And I didn't have much food or anything, and it sucked. I was like alone, and then there wasn't that many people around. There were a few people that helped me, but it wasn't much. So I can completely understand this, like when you're like feeling sick, and then you're just waiting for those, it seems like ages, because a lot of times, you'll get, most people get through it. Well, not most, but some people get through it pretty quick. And then you're not really, you're still under quarantine and you may feel fine, but you still are supposedly contagious. So you don't want to give it to other people and you miss those people. Like he was saying about missing his wife and everything. And like, it does, it sucks. But, as far as that goes, that made me think of that, but also just as the poem in itself was, I liked the rhyme very much. I think he did really well when it, like even sick, he does an amazing SoundCloud. So, but yeah, thank you, Titus, for writing this. And it, you can tell it's like deep down his feelings of everything that happened.
Some comments. And Wayne?
This is a sad point. Tony has had, and now recovered from COVID. And this explains the agony of the virus perfectly. After having the virus, it brings back a lot of memories I wish I didn't have to revisit. I have a terrible case of chills just sitting here listening to Sirius Marie Dad. It's a great reality. There's great reality in this poem, and I pray he recovers completely. It's a well-written poem and did a good job with it. But boy, sure does bring back a lot of bad memories. I was alone by myself, too, and had a nurse next door to treat me, but the hours and hours by myself and the confusion they brought on, and it was a rough little virus to get over, and he explained it perfectly, just perfectly. Great job.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, apparently I was a very lucky one. I didn't get that ill. I was waiting for it. I was waiting to hit when I tested positive, but it never really came. This poem, it just feels tragic, and I'm glad to hear everything's okay. I hope it is. Yeah, it just tore me apart. I thought something had happened to his wife, I swear, the way it was written and read. And thank God that's not true. Very moving, very tragic.
great comment, Hatter. I think that's an awesome choice of wording, tragic, because that's the feel you got from the sound in his voice to the beginning stanza there. It was just like, whoa, it had a pro feel right from the first couple lines, you know? Okay. Thank you, Titus. Feel better, both of you. I'm going to read for Heavenly Angel, and hers is on the chat wall. If you guys just tell me when you see it, please.
I see it.
I got it.
All right. And Mr. Gent, you set?
I see it.
Cool. Okay. So this is called Insomnia by Heavenly Angel. Madness. I have slipped into the darkest recesses of my mind, inhaling the bloody flames of rogue smoke that form terrifying nightmares. Only the nightmares occur while awake. Terror. Ebony clouds brush a gray sky, foggy with the crisp autumn breeze, as the specter stands at the gates of my mind, demanding entrance. Relentless. A pale hand draped from the black cold reaches inward, tormenting, torturing until all prayers for peace are exhumed. Cackles of evil delight emit from the specter known as Insomnia. End poem. Wow, I love where she took this. And how it's just a one word to drive it and then ties it to a piece of crystal and then another word and ties it to some more of crystal. But the specter stands at the gates of my mind demanding entrance. I was like, damn, this is deep and dark and wicked and I love it. And I'm also seeing that, yes, it's a multi-award winner. Which I just love to point out the fact that most of the time when she presents a poem on a Monday night, it is a multi-award winner. This was fun. This was a really fun read, Angel. I slipped into that darkness, and it was a really great piece. It played well with Crystal's quotes, and like I said, I got a kick out of the format. Great job. Crystal.
I'm gonna like go more like in depth of everything, but first I just want to simply like has she been in my life before? Because like I have dealt with insomnia. This is just right there in the app. No, I'm kidding. But really do sometimes. But yeah, I do love the darkness. Because one part that kind of gave me like chills, I think, is the one line I like the most when she just first like starts out with like the madness of her mind, but then she gets to the only the nightmares occur when awake. And I swear that gave me chills when I read that, because I was like, okay, that's creepy. And I'm like, I like the darkness brought into it. And how many lines that she took from mine, it also made me think of some contests that I used to do where I had collab with me, and I would make like some lines or some stanzas, and you would add your own to it. And I feel like she did that with my lines, like bringing in the ebony clouds and the pale hand from the black cloak. Those right there, I think the most made me think of like something adding on to mine, but I feel like she made mine like so much better. I think she did a great job with this. And like I said, I'm not too much for darkness, but when I see a good dark write, I really enjoy it. And this is one of them. So great job, Angel.
Awesome comment. And Mr. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I said this before. I've never, as a kid, when I was young, I never had nightmares, but I do now. And I don't think we're supposed to remember nightmares, but when you do, it affects you deeply. To me, it's like I don't want to sleep. If I can remember, I don't want to go back to sleep. I don't want to sleep. so I can really relate to this. It's very well written.
Fantastic comment. And Mr. Wayne Gent, comment, please.
This is kind of dark, and I'm glad it ended with the spectrum known as insomnia, because I was kind of wondering where she's headed with it. And it's something I can relate to. I sleep about 3 hours a night, except for yesterday. And yesterday I slept about 12 hours, and I can't seem to wake up. I'm going to go back to bed when this is over with, because I can't just seem to get my head out of my air. But this is very good. I like the last where she said, inward tormenting, torturing, until all prayers for peace are exhumed. That's a great little line right there. And this is a good poem, and I'm glad it ended the way it did, because I didn't know where she's headed with this dark poem. Great job with the poem, and great job writing it. And I'm going to go back to bed. Take it easy. Good job.
Thank you so much, Wayne. And, okay, I put Phil the Poet poem on the board, and I'm about to share the piece of art that he wrote to on the board right now. I have it just low when that happened. Okay, here we go. And let me shrink it a little so it doesn't move his palm. Come on. Okay. There is the art that he wrote to. And here comes his recording.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Home with a Giant Soul. In a land far away where the giants did roam, a lonely boot has become a comfortable home, ceiling and walls made of waterproof leather, where a woman and her children huddle together. The aroma of shoe polish mingles with nettle tea. Outside the latticed window buzzed the drowsy bee, intoxicated on the pollen of the woodland flowers. Children watch him gleefully for hours and hours. The clanging of bluebells arouse a little curiosity. The children crowd around the ant band thoughtfully, trying to guess the song the band is trying to play, not even noticing the passing of another summer day. They hear the mother's cry to them that it's time for tea. Dandelion soup and burdock wine with lashings of sweet pea. Gathering around the table in the kitchen near the heel, all bow their heads as mother says grace before the meal. At night they stare at the periwinkled starlight skies. Mother tells them they are made from the wings of fireflies, with an inspiration of hope, with a rare crystal gem. The heavens shine more brighter than it did then. And as she tells this story, the moon shines on the boot. In the distance, the trees dance at the sound of a flute, while a puzzled giant somewhere searches in vain, desperately seeking for his lost shoe in the pouring rain. End poem.
Oh, how cool. I love it. I really love the ending. The shoe is the giant and he's looking for his lost shoe. Way cool. The aroma of shoe polish mingles with the nettle tea. Outside the latticed window buzzed drowsy bee, intoxicated on the pollen of the woodland flowers. The children watch him gleefully for hours and hours. There was something that made me giggle about the thought of the intoxicated, drowsy bee. Like he was buzzed and drowsy, and he was just like, that's some pretty wicked pollen if it's kicking the butt of that poor bumblebee, because that's like part of his job there, you know. But between the read and the details and the fun ending, especially the fun ending, I just thought it was really cool. And I, you know, you hear little spins on the home and the shoe or the old Mother Hubbard or whatever type of thing. But, you never stop to think about where that giant shoe came from. I like that he pulled that in there. Great job, Phil. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. awesome as always. Crystal Hope.
Yeah, I don't know why, but even when I saw the picture, it kind of made me think of it. And even with, like, with his poem, it makes me think of the old woman who lived in the shoe. I don't know why. That's the first thing that came to my head. I definitely do enjoy the ending. I think my favorite is, at night they stare at the periwinkle starlight skies. Mother tells them they are made from the wings of fireflies. I love how that sounded. And then the inspiration of hope with a rare crystal gem, the heavens shine brighter than they did then. And I don't know, like this whole story and everything, and it just to me was very clever. And it I don't know, I was kind of just like listening, kind of like you would see a child listening to a story being read at the library or something like that. That's the way it kind of gave me that feeling, like you wanted to hear more and you were just very intrigued. But yeah, I really do like how he went with the photo, though, because I feel like some people just describe a photo, and I feel like I love it when people give life to that picture, and I did that with this one. So great job, Phil.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, what you think?
I think it's a wonderful poem. It covers the picture well. I like the title of the poem is fantastic too, about them having a big soul. That's kind of cool. Hope the giant doesn't find the shoe because it's been put to good use. And he did a lot of details this poem. It was real good. And it's just a good poem all the way around. It's a good children's poem. I like the whole lot there, Phil. Good job.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, well, Phil's just a great poet. I thought the same thing, Mother in the Shoe, Moon in the Shoe. But I think the line, best line was, they hear their mother's cry to them, and it's time for tea, dandelion soup, burdock wine, with lashings of sweet pea. What a flow. That tickles the feather in my ear. Yeah, Phil's a great poet. This is a good piece.
Awesome comment. Now, we have four left, and Hatter brought a special one to read to you at the end, Crystal. So I was wondering, how about if you read for Pee-wee, then I'll read for Jenny, then you read yours, and Hatter will read to you? Does that sound like a plan?
That works for me.
Okay, now let me check something. Okay. Tell you what. Will you read for Jenny, please?
Yes. Let me find her. Okay. Do you want me to go ahead and read for her now?
I'm sorry, yes, please do.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I was trying to find the poem. All right, this is called Spirits in Black Set This Soul Free by Jenny, I'm going to guess Jenny Hunt, 2017. A pale hand draped from the black cloak, inhaling the bloody flames of rogue smoke, comes to my wretched soul too dark for the real world, too dark for my own. Not knowing what to do with me, the hand summons three men in the same black cloaks. Intrigued with this lost soul, they accommodate, which feels like eternity, they discuss and think. Ebony clouds brush a gray sky, foggy from the crisp autumn breeze, changing the disgruntled souls. Finally, at midnight, they all agreed, this tortured soul shall be set free. End poem.
Great read. Wow, thank you. I like the details there right from the beginning where she tied into yours, comes to make my wretched soul too dark for the real world, too dark for my own. There's something really haunting about that one. And not knowing what to do with me, the hand summons up three men in same black cloaks. And I should have put the photo up because the descriptions are spot on for the art that she chose. And I'm trying to put that on there now so that you guys can see how awesome it really is, especially to the picture. And here it comes. There you go. I just had to get that up there because, like, it describes those men in the cloaks quite well, not knowing what to do. Summons up three men. I mean, how spooky. Totally spooky. I think she did a great job. And Miss Crystal, what do you think of that one?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you were saying about it ties into my line. It's kind of the same thing, kind of like what Angel did. Like bringing my lines and then like adding on to them, because I definitely feel like she did. Like we were talking about the bringing out the darkness from her, like the wretched soul and stuff like that. Because it, when I look at that picture, it kind of makes me think of like Grim Reaper kind of thing. And I don't know, like I feel like she definitely did like look at that photo and then looked at my lines and was like, where can I add this and this and this, and kind of like gave it life and gave it story, but definitely gave it a little more darkness. It's weird to see people take my lines and then add more darkness when I don't typically write dark. But at the same time, some of the quotes you picked, Deb, were one of some of my darker ones. Which I was, sometimes when I write dark, it surprises people. So, but yeah, I think that definitely she did a great job. Especially I like it where she said the tortured soul should be set free. So then in the end, it has like that darkness, but at the same time it has like the eventually you'll be sent free, my prisoner, like kind of like that. Like I thought it was pretty cool.
Awesome comment. And a note on that aspect of it. When I try to pick the quotes, I try to keep all the different poets who participate in mind, and we have a lot of dark writers. And I must Crystal, that it was not as hard as I expected it to be to find some pieces that could lead people in a dark direction. So obviously you're starting to like it a little bit, because I've easily found the dark lines. I mean, you might not go wicked and gore, but you have some fantastic lines that can go in multiple directions, which is, you know, totally the point. And the poems that your words have inspired all night long are incredible. And thank you, Jenny. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I love that it comes to make my wretched soul, not knowing what to do with me. Yeah, and then the three men. This is very. Well, first of all, I love the rhyming scheme just flowed throughout the piece. The poor fate of a disgruntled soul. Finally, at midnight, they all agreed this tortured soul should be set free. You know, it doesn't linger into being tortured or kept, but it does allow you to be set free. I love the way it ends, from darkness to light. So that was good. Thank you, Jenny.
Awesome comment. And I am... I switched them up because of one of the lines, so I'm going to edit a little. So if you guys will click on the next poem by Pee-wee, I will read for him. And then we will see what you and Hatter have in there, you guys. Okay, do you see it, or do I need to put it back up? Oh, I see. Way up there. Let me move it down here.
I got it.
So which one? Did you repost it?
Yeah, it's reposted, and it's the one that says Pee-wee.
Oh, PB, okay.
Okay. This is called Queen's Dawn by Pee Wee Cusson. And here we go. Pale hand draped from a cloak, inhaling bloody flames of smoke. Knife at side, fate's destiny stoked. Exact moment, clock on wall broke. King's pawn, BC4, then NF3, and check. Black queen tumbles, quite the mess. Dark flowing trail of her blood behind, clearly see what goes on in her mind. Circumflex trails of his strings interwoven, senators move pieces already chosen. Maneuvering into positions three ahead, white queen lies in scarlet heap dead. Strings from hands, man who'd been king, wrapped tightly around just about everything. Avenging death of sweet marionettes, her malevolent ghost is now begets. World draw gone, the pawns dawn, and oblivion comes for the man, Senator Stan. Sun going down, it's not rising anymore. This world falls to his touch. That's how it ends when you put a life in the hands of a man and his wife. You're Senator Stan, all just king pawns. Bishop takes pawn. Check, Queen's Dawn. Way cool. You know, I really like how it moves along like the chess pieces there. Really, really cool. And I'm trying to fumble through there to grab that art because everybody's doing such a really cool job. Now, when I saw the art that he chose, I wondered where he would take it. And what gets me, what jumps out at me the most is that, like, okay, you look at the poem, and what's the first thing that you think? And if you look, if I ever get back to, there's the room, if you look at the piece of art, the clock is sitting on a floor, and the floor is a chess or checkerboard. So he took it into the chess just from that floor. So you never know what part of a piece of art is going to inspire the poet. And I think that it was really, really clever to take us on this journey through the kings and queens and in the avenging the death of a sweet marionette, her malevolent ghost it now begets. It had some pretty great flow going on. And like from the first stanza on with the inner and outer rhyme, really, really cool. Fate's destiny stoked. And there's that clock. Exact moment, the clock on the wall broke. So we went from that clock, like I said, into those chess moves. And I thought that was really, really clever. It was awesome to read for you, Pee-wee. And I really like the original approach that you took on this. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Crystal, what you think?
Yeah, it definitely gave to me, like, a game of chess. I was even reading, like, Kay's comment and stuff like that, where she was bringing up the same thing. But I also was, like, kind of thinking a little bit like a game of chess, but also kind of gave me, I don't know, it just kind of gave me feelings of a little bit of Alice in Wonderland, too. I don't know why. Maybe I was just picking up the queen from that. But, you know, it has that, like, very interesting fantasy kind of feeling, I guess, but it also has like a bit of the whole darkness and everything. It got a little bit of everything, like it just kind of a dark fantasy kind of right, and I think it's really cool. I think he did a great job.
Awesome comment. And what do you think, Hatter?
Totally agree, and it does remind me of Wonderland with the queen and the chess pieces with the live pieces on the board. Very well written with the marionettes, avenging death of sweet marionettes. It's got the inner rhyme lines, which I totally enjoy. Very, very... I want to know what BC4. Now, I'm trying to think of what move that BC4 than NF, because that, I'm not sure what move that would, those moves would be in check. Black Queen tumbles quite the mess. Very good rhyme scheme throughout. I'm really impressed. Nicely done.
Great comment, Hatter. BC4, yeah, I know, right? BC4, the Bowdoin Kieseriski Gambit, is named after an English player in chess.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I can't even really say it. So let's, but yeah, no, it was way cool. Very impressive all the way around. Now let me see. I'm just double checking this real quick. Yes. Okay. Now, the first thing I'm going to do before we do the last two poems is go over what's coming up. And I am running like the wind to just double check so I don't say the wrong thing. Okay, so our next show is Thursday night with Sweet Pea, and she wants to discuss the banning of books, like in Fahrenheit 451, Fahrenheit 45, the banning of books. She said a third-class felony for having books in your classroom. Beware the teachers, you may face criminal offenses. I mean, it's mind-blowing. And she gave a list of books that are currently banned to see if they would inspire. And many books that were historically banned, like To Kill a Mockingbird and The Catcher in the Rye type of stuff. So there's some really interesting facts on her topic board. And I believe it says 11 p.m. Eastern, so I will double-check the time, but sounds like a really awesome show. And then on Saturday night, wait, I better look and make sure there's not a Friday before I say that. You know, you think I would have been a little better prepared okay, now, here we go. On Friday, how about that? Friday is the Man Cave with Stephen and Hatter. And that is at its new time of 9 p.m. And then on Saturday with Hatter and AP and me, we are also talking about books, but in any way you want to take the topic. And what a coincidence. Did you know Sweet's topic, Hat?
No. She had mentioned it, but when I chose it, I didn't have that in mind. I didn't remember. So it's a coincidence.
It's a cool coinkydink, because one, we can go in a serious note, and one, we could go in a different direction if we so choose to. And then, last but not least, on Monday, on my show Monday, we are featuring the artist Larry Braun, and he's got some really beautiful, beautiful photography that's packed with nostalgia and colors and can take you in any different direction. And then on top of that, the quotes for inspiration on my next show are by none other than Mr. Wayne Gent. And there's some beautiful pieces of his poetry to choose from to inspire you. And same time as every week, I'll see you here, 10 p.m. Eastern. And then we will start a new week of poetry. Now, in the meantime, I want to say to Miss Crystal that you cracked me up when I read your thing, and it said I used a lot of the quotes, but they are mine. I was like, yeah, that is true. So, you know, I got a kick out of that. But I want to say thank you for letting us use your words for inspiration. That they were, I mean, it was really easy to find inspiring lines when I was flicking through your poems. and the variety of poetry that came with it is impressive. So thanks for inspiring us. And what we're going to do now is we're going to have Miss Crystal Hope read us a poem that was inspired by previous words of hers. And then Hatter wants to read for you, and then we will go home. So if you click on your poem and show us what you got, I'd appreciate that.
Okay. Let me find the link again. And I got it. And this is called Moonlight Lantern's Beam on Butterfly Flowers. Here we go. Golden lanterns brighten the moon with kaleidoscopes of butterfly stars. Orange pumpkin petals dance on the planets of Saturn and Mars. Pomegranate tulips dangle beneath broken branches swinging with breezes, eyes of night, whispering sprinkles of melting freezes. Fields of flowers blossom on dirt roads colored by the trickles of green grasses. Autumn leaves dry the murky waters, soaking the vases of crystal glasses. Midnight dripping on morning dew, strumming the strings of a winged blue. End poem.
Wow. It's pretty cool to be re-inspired by your own words, don't you think? Sometimes I go back and I'm like, oh, wow, look at that. And I take a piece and I write a new poem. Just one time I took a little toast, which, you know, like a toast after a drink, and turned it into a big elaborate story because I like to toast so much. Well, I have to say I love what you did with blending in your own words. And like from the beginning, golden lantern brightens the moons with kaleidoscope of butterfly stars. Butterfly stars, how gorgeous. Broken branches swinging with breezes. Indigo skies ink the gray eyes of night, whispering sprinkles of melting freezes. Really, really beautiful lines there. And autumn leaves dry the murky waters, soaking the vases of crystal glasses. And I, of course, I always look to see if you use crystal and or hope in your poems, because it's kind of like your trademark. So beautiful use of crystal there and those in the vases of crystal glasses. I think that you did awesome. And fields of flowers blossom on dirt roads. I mean, just very, very pretty and vivid details that pull this through for us. And it is a award-winning poem as well. Congratulations on that. Gorgeous. And I love the title, Moonlight Lanterns Beam on Butterfly Flowers. I mean, just a gorgeous piece, start to finish, Crystal. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I totally enjoy how people use their either adverbs, introducing a verb, I think they're adverbs. But when a writer uses dripping to describe nature, a color or something that's dripping, it always seems to enhance the read to me. Morning, here we have dripping on morning honeydew. See that? I should do that more because I can't. I can't even think of one to use, so my mind doesn't work that way. But I'm always impressed when people use the word dripping or oozing when they're describing nature. It was well done, Crystal.
Thank you, Hatter. I notice people do it even sometimes just when they're writing a book or something. They'll use it not even just to describe nature, but even if it's like a romance book or just like adding it to something, you'll see like dripping or oozing or melting or blazing. You'll see those different words or something of that sort. So I get what you mean by that.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And they're moving words that aren't forgotten.
Oh, awesome. Okay, now, Hatter, that second poem that you brought for Miss Crystal's on the board, if you want to read for her.
Yeah, I was going through my vault today and found something I had written, but I don't know how long ago it was, but I wanted to share it again. It's called Finding Hope. Goes like this. This tale first begins with the colors within, and the reasons are tethered by rope. With words to lure, they had to be pure from the poet they called Crystal Hope. In secret, they say, we gather to pray when time runs in reverse. With the seasons in tow, they search to know the wise will whisper in verse. Standing in lines, we all left behind. The best has yet to begin. What did we learn when it was our turn to listen while chasing the wind? It was by design when all wrote in rhyme and the wise paused before they spoke. We learned to read in poetry from the book called Finding Hope. Without the lines we hope to find, we wander in circular thought. Then when lost and afraid, kneel down and pray for the poets that time has forgot. Under the stones, they'll find the bones wrapped in tangled rope. When the lost is found and the deaf hears the sounds of the one they call Crystal Hope. Says the true poet, Crystal Hope. I wrote this with all my respect.
Heather, I forgot how awesome this is, and how come I didn't comment on it? You wrote it in November 2020, and I love the fact that you kept repeating the word hope through it, like sort of driving it in. The poet they call Crystal Hope, from the book called Finding Hope. I thought this was a beautiful act of friendship. I thought it was a stunning write. I thought the hope that is all through it really does, and I know it sounds lame, but it really does scream Crystal Hope. But even as breathtaking as the sentiment and the words are in your poem, I really love that you wrote to a true poet, Crystal Hope. I wrote this with all my respect. I think, you know, those are the kind of moments that they're just like very special moments, and it's like this priceless gift, and it takes me to that that expression that people don't remember the things you did, they remember how you make them feel, and how could somebody not feel special after hearing you read this to them? It's awesome, Heather.
That's how I get this.
Crystal. Miss Crystal Hope.
Exactly what you just said, Deb, is how I was. Like, it really did. Like, I do remember this poem. It's weird, though. I didn't comment on it either, and I don't know why. It's in my... But I do remember it, but I don't remember everything of it. I may have, like, read it and then never heard how to read it. I'm not sure. But after, like, having, like, some things gone on in my life, it really is sweet to see this again, especially, like I said, recently, because I was thinking of it for me, but I was also just thinking of it, and if you think about Crystal Hope, and you think about Crystal, it means brilliant, so you would think it would mean a brilliant hope, and about kind of like what his words were talking about some of the poets or the words that we've left behind, and then or thinking about what the wise would speak or something like that, but they're always looking for some kind of deeper meaning, some kind of deeper hope. And even when it was saying, like, talking about it in a tangled rope, because you think about it, when you're at the end of your rope, you're looking for something greater. And and I feel like that these words kind of bring that inspiration. So, yeah, it really is beautiful, Hatter. And I don't know about crying, but it seems like it's a little bit. It might just, I think, because my kind of like the Grinch. My heart has grown like 3 times bigger after hearing this again, so thank you.
What I think happened was your night earlier, we tribute to you, or I can't remember how it was structured, I think got postponed, and I forgot that I had written it. And then when it came up again, I think I wrote something else. So it sort of got put away. It wasn't really seen or read by many. I think that's the way it was. I'm not sure.
I'm not either, because I just know it's in my favorites, but I don't know. I don't remember reading it.
I might have shared it with
that
you,
is
being
true.
Yeah.
See, it just goes to show that everything happens for a reason, because she needed to pick me up, and you just Grinched her in the best possible way. I love that. I love the way you put that. Like, just like the Grinch, my heart grew 3 sizes. That was a really awesome comment, Crystal. Oh, I love these moments. That was so awesome. And this is why we do these things, ladies and gentlemen, because of those tender moments that you get just from reading a poem to someone. Incredible.
Hey, do you get the picture? I took a picture.
Oh yeah, let me put it. Oh wait.
Did it just something? Yeah.
You have a pencil and a notebook.
It's perfect because it's like from that book called Crystal Hope, and the fact that you called her a true poet. Well, I like the picture.
Yeah, cool.
Something so amazing came from the picture of a notebook.
I was thinking it kind of brings me back to my childhood, because when I was a child, I always wanted a notebook normally as a gift, because usually I would write in it or draw or something in it. I always had like pencils or markers or something with me, with a notebook or something, and I'd make weird stories or I'd write things or something like that when I was a kid. So when I look at that picture, that's what it makes me think of.
You know, that's funny, because I was happiest with a pad of paper and a pencil. Also, it's
same
where
here.
It all began, you know. If I hadn't written my first poem trying to write a song, it wouldn't have led to be here. So it all starts somewhere, finding hope.
Right. And it's often that there's some kind of sorrow or depression or heartbreak that sends us running for poetry. But sometimes it's really awesome stuff too, you know, or it's completely accidental. But whatever the case may be, it's really awesome that we all wound up in this room tonight writing poetry.
Yeah, the poetry is not what kept me here. It's the people, the poets.
Right, well, we inspire each other. We have a good time hanging out with one another. There's enough like-mindedness that it's just a joy. And we get some of these lines, and it struck me how often we say, "Oh wow, look at that line! I wish I wrote it." Well, what better way to pay tribute to one another than to have us writing to the words that impress us night after night and week after week. So I'm glad that I started this series, and I don't think that there's been a poem that didn't blow away the person whose quotes we were using on any given week, and everybody has been impressed with what their words have inspired and the different genres that they were taken in, and it was just like it's a beautiful thing to see everybody inspiring each other. So like, yeah. Awesome. All right, so on that note, I guess I'm going to do the wrap-up and get a... Crystal, when's your next show? I didn't do the next schedule, so but I think, what are you going to be, March?
Probably going to be... Probably the second, I guess, Wednesday, or the first Wednesday of March. I'm not sure. I would guess. That's what I'm just thinking.
Yeah, let me see here. I thought I started it for some reason, but I'm not finding it. But there is plenty of time to push it. So unless there's something that either of you would like to say, I'm just going to wrap up and remind everybody to come back and see my suite on Thursday.
Peace on earth.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, a shout out again to Kay. We missed you tonight, but I hope you feel better. Take care of you. And I want to thank the amazing board members, which are my big brother Hatter and A.P. Taylor and Sweet P. We missed you. And a shout out to the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation for sponsoring A Team of Voices Radio. And I want to say thank you to Crystal Hope for the amazing lines that inspired all the poetry tonight. And I'm really glad that you were able to call and hang out. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Angel and Pee-wee and Wayne and Phil and Titus and Jenny. And Titus, I'm glad you're feeling better. And fabulous show. I appreciate you all more than you'll ever know. And, hey, I'm a poet. Now, Hatter, what song would you like to hear?
How about, there's a lot of them. I don't know. Let's go with some Shinedown. Hey, Alice.
We can do that. Okay. I was going to just push it. It's funny. We hadn't heard it for a while, and that's what I was going to say. And then I thought, no, let me let Hatter pick. And then you picked what I was going to play anyway. Great minds and all that. So on that note, again, thank you, Crystal Hope. Love and respect to you all. Next week, we feature Wayne Gent. Tune in Thursday with Sweet Pea. And here we go with Shinedown. Her name was Alice. Love and respect, everyone.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. And the girl that chased the rabbit, drank the wine and took the pill, has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels to stand outside your virtue. No one can ever
wood. You see?
Alice.
It was good to hear.
Thanks,
that,
Dad.
Huh? Been a while.
Yeah, true.
Thank you, Hatter. Good night. Love and respect, everyone. See you Thursday.